Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. I'm Grant Reher. Counties in New York State must redraw their county legislative districts in accord with the 2020 census results. And the redistricting process in Onondaga County has become the source of some controversy and partisan conflict. With me today to discuss the issue are two county legislators. Mary Kuhn is a Democrat representing the 7th District, and she was just reelected to her second term. Legislator Kuhn is a retired clinical social worker. David Knapp is a Republican who represents the 12th District. He's also the chairman of the legislature, a position he was elected to unanimously. He's a partner in the Knapp Shoot Insurance Agency. Legislators Knapp and Kuhn, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So let me do this as a beginning, and then we can go from there. But I want to try to summarize where we are so far for our listeners, and then we'll get into the questions after that. So I'm going to just give you my sense of this. And if either of you think I've got something wrong, please correct me when I'm done. But here's my understanding. 6 members serve on the County Redistricting Committee. There are 3 Republicans, 2 Democrats, and 1 Independent. One of the Republicans was appointed by County Executive Ryan McMahon. 1 appointment each was made by the majority and the minority leaders of the legislature. And then the legislative chairman, one of today's guests, Republican David Knapp, serves on the committee. So that's the 4. And then these 4 are joined by the Republican and Democratic elections commissioners. Now, the committee put forward 2 maps for consideration, 1 from the Democrats and 1 from the Republicans. There were 6 public hearings that were scheduled. The last one is being held today. We are speaking on Wednesday, November 10th. But last Wednesday, November 3rd, the commission voted to approve the Republican version of these 2 maps, but the full legislature still has to approve that map to make it final. Do I have all that basically right?
The only other piece is once the county legislature acts, then the county executive, since it's a local law, the county executive has to either sign it or veto it as well. And he'll have another public hearing as part of his process.
Got it. Okay. So just like any other piece of legislation. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, it was pretty close. All right. Good. So let me ask I broke my questions up into 2 parts. The first ones are going to be more about the process, and the second will be more about the substance of the map. So let me start with the process. And Legislator Knapp, I'll start with you. If we look at the state level, where you have the same sort of process where you have a redistricting commission, that commission failed to come to consensus on their congressional and their state legislature maps. And so they issued 2 versions, and one was more favorable to the Democrats, one's more favorable to the Republicans. So my first question for you is having 2 maps issued at the county level, is that normal? I mean, I know it's only every 10 years, but as far as you know, is that normal? Or does that also indicate that your commission failed to come to an agreement?
No, that's normal. 10 years ago, I was not part of the commission. I wasn't on the county legislature at the time, but there were multiple maps 10 years ago as well. I can't talk about 20 years ago. That was, I haven't asked that question, but no, I would say it's pretty typical to have 2 maps, at least 2 maps. And at one point we actually had 3 maps that were drawn. So I wouldn't say that's outside of the ordinary.
Okay. And Legislator Kuhn, the Democrats are not happy with the map that was voted on. So I know this is a very complicated question, but if you could distill it down briefly, what are the most important differences between the 2 maps in your view?
In my view, one of the most important differences in the maps is how the city has been divided up. And one of my major concerns about the Republican map, and I think I'm joined in that concern by my colleagues, Democratic colleagues on the legislature, is, and I'll give you an example of the 16th district. 16th district has traditionally been a majority-minority district. That is, it's the south side of the city, and it's a majority African-American community. In the new Republican map, that community has been divided up and into some portion of the south side, also some portion of the downtown part of the city, and also a part of the university area. So the concern that has been expressed by people on the South Side has been the concern that that community will has a less opportunity to be represented by a minority legislator.
Okay, and I want to get more specifically into the details of the differences between the two maps, particularly regarding the city, in a minute, but it's the city that you focused on there. Sticking with the process though, Legislator Knapp, let me come back to you and ask you a question about the timing of the sure. process here. So one of the concerns that Democrats and others have put forward is a concern that the process is being rushed. In particular, that the process was rushed through so that it could be basically completed before the elections, because Republicans had a strong majority in the Onondaga legislature. That's continued. The majority is the, exactly the same, my understanding is. So now that the elections have passed, the party composition of the county legislature has not really changed. Why not slow it down? Why not? What's the rush?
Well, you know, we are, our charter lays out a very specific plan. And just to finish the comment on your earlier assessment of the situation, the charter says that the two election commissioners are automatically on the commission as well as the chairman of the legislature. So that's why I'm right. on it. And right. then we have the other appointments that you already talked about.
Right.
So, you know, the charter lays out certain timelines. Yes, we're well within it, and we're probably well ahead of it. Looking at 10 years ago and 20 years ago, we are on the pretty much the exact same trajectory as we were back then. 20 years ago, they went from 24 legislators to 19. So it was a pretty big process. They did the same thing in a little over 3 weeks between meetings. They only had a couple of public hearings and then a vote. 10 years ago, they went from 19 to 17. Same thing, about 3 weeks, four committee meetings, a couple of public hearings, and a vote. This year, we're keeping 17 legislators. You know, there were some population changes, but compared to 10 and 20 years ago, it's much simpler than before. We actually expanded the public hearings. The county charter calls for two. We added another four. And then actually with the county executives, there'll be seven total public hearings as part of this process. So, we last September, we had a pretty deep conversation about this at the legislature. And, this legislature's put in these changes, and we said, we want to see this through. We want to make sure that the changes we made happen. And so that's why we wanted to get it done during this legislature.
Well, I want to come back to Legislator Kuhn and ask a question related to that, but let me follow up with you on that.
Sure.
So you referenced the process 10 years ago and then 20 years ago. One might push back and say that the political times now are so different, particularly because of the last 4 or 5 years,
sure.
that the partisan tensions have just gone through the roof, and this has trickled down from the national level to the state and local levels. So given that kind of heightened tension and animosity, sure. might it be better to kind of slow this down and let
potentially. But, I do look at some of our neighboring counties. Erie County is done. They got the census data the same time we did. They voted on their maps last week. So their process was even more condensed than ours was. Erie County happens to be run by Democrats. Monroe County, the same thing. They're finishing up their process about the same time as us. So it's not like we're out here on an island by ourselves. The larger counties that are run by charters wanted to get this done, and that's the avenue we've gone down.
Okay, Legislator Kuhn, I guess two questions. First of all, Does that sound right and reasonable to you about the timing? And then I have a question I want to ask about the number of people that have been participating in these. But first, do you have anything to say about the timing quickly?
Yes, I agree with the Post Standard editorial that this process was very rushed. And legislator Knapp points out a process last year and 20 years ago, 10 years ago and 20 years ago. Our charter actually gives the commission 3 months. So despite the fact that it had been done in a rapid fashion 10 years and 20 years ago, we had 3 months. And given the fact that we are, in my view, trying to educate the public about the importance of these district maps, I think the process has been fairly invisible. And we think that it would be better to make it more visible. And I want to just comment about the fact that Erie County, which is run by Democrats, and you know Onondaga County, which has been dominated by Republicans, that's exactly the issue, is that whoever is in power winds up doing it like this. And one of the things that I and my caucus presented in June of 2020 was a process called citizen-led redistricting, so that the district maps would eliminate politicians who, of course, look for power. Democrats and Republicans play the same game. And I would like to see the game stop and bring it to the people.
Well, that's a whole nother issue. I don't know if we'll have time to get deeply into it, but let me follow up with this though about at least the public participation that has happened so far in this process. I have read in the paper that only seven people testified at the first public hearing on October 22nd. So what's been the attendance at the public hearings since then? And also, do you know how many written statements have been emailed to the commission? Because my understanding is that's the avenue through which written statements go, that came before the deadline of October 29th. How many people got involved?
I don't have the numbers, but I went to all commission meetings and I went to all public meetings. The issue with public meetings, yes, there were five. However, the first two happened before any maps were drawn. So people did comment on process. So yes, there were seven, and the first one was held at 10:30 in the morning. And one of the gentlemen commented that perhaps we only wanted to hear from retired people. In Lafayette, you know, I don't know, maybe Legislator Knapp has a better number on idea of numbers. Maybe there was 10 or 12. Again, that was before any maps were there. The third hearing happened several hours after the maps were released. So people, again, were not really commenting on the maps themselves. The fourth one, there were probably a few more people, and the fifth one was fairly well attended in East Syracuse. And that was the first time I heard several comments on the construction of the maps. So tonight I think will be different because now the maps have been out. People have been talking about the maps. People have an opportunity to look at them. I also want to just mention the reason there were three maps is that the two Democratic members of the commission listened to some of the feedback that had come both from the commission and from public hearing. And so they have a 1.5 map, which did take into consideration some of those things, which is what we thought was to happen with the public hearings. Listen to what the people say, go back and change things.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Onondaga County legislators David Knapp and Mary Kuhn. And we've been discussing the county's legislative redistricting process. Now, I should say for our listeners, I learned a little something during our break, which is that that third map that Legislator Kuhn was describing was also voted on by the commission, but the commission chose the map that was put forward by the Republicans. So there were three maps considered. So let me, Legislator Knapp, come to this question about the representation of the city here. Yep. And the districts in the city. Currently, there are only three city residents that serve in the county legislature, but the city represents about 30% of the county's population. So isn't that just a problem on its face right there, a prima facie problem to be
sure? And again, I was not part of the commission 10 years ago. So I think that's a conversation for another time. It's actually kind of fascinating to see what their thought process was 10 years ago and how they came up with some of these districts. You know, based on the population, and the population of the state actually grew a little bit, so that's great. Every district comes out to about 28,000 people. If you take the new population of the county divided by 17 county legislators, it's right around 28,000 people. So based on that, the city qualifies for 5.3 legislators. So what we did on the Republican side, and actually the Democrats did the same thing, we all put six districts in the city. Now talking about district number 16 that we talked about before, again, to do this, to get six districts within the city, you know, things have to move around a little bit. Also, in the middle of this process, the Governor Hochul signed legislation that put out some more parameters about redistricting. So it made the district numbers a lot tighter. So all the districts have to be within 5% of each other, which makes this a little bit tougher. So that district specifically, yes, had to change a little bit. I think it was a little over 80% minority. Currently, the new district is 70% minority. So I still think that you know, is pretty overwhelmingly a minority district. The other thing we did, which I was really glad we were able to do, is we designed a specific district on the north side of the city for new Americans, where a lot of the new Americans that have moved in the past 10 years have settled. There is no incumbent in that district. And so we're hoping that this next time around that, you know, one of the new Americans will step up and, you know, make sure they have a representation on the county legislature as well. So we were really, really happy that we were able to make that happen. And that was something that we've been talking about for a couple of years, doing that. So again, it's a difficult process because of the numbers. You know, unfortunately, sometimes you have to move things around a little bit, or even divide a community that you don't want to divide. But just because with the new rules, the numbers are so tight, everything you do has a ripple effect on other districts. And so it makes it a little tough.
So Legislator Kuhn, let me ask you about that. Do you think, and then I have a follow-up for you that's still on the same topic, but do you think that the city has been broken up too much then in this Republican map? Is that sort of the essence of the concern?
Yes. In the first map that the Democrats drew, they drew five districts solely within the city to represent, as you point out, the city population is about a third of the county, and five districts would represent that, so that they were contained within the city. You were talking about the map that we're currently in, and I know that both county executive, as well as I think previous county executive Joni Mahoney, talked about the reasoning behind putting suburbs and cities together was to have a sort of suburban districts better understand what's going on in the city. And theoretically, I think I understand that, but District 7 has, I represent DeWitt, but I also represent a portion of the north side, a portion of Eastwood, a portion of the east side of the city. And I haven't seen, DeWitt is also got four different legislators. And I haven't seen the other two Republican legislators at DeWitt town meetings, nor have I seen suburban legislators. I go to all the TNT and neighborhood meetings on the north side and one on the east side, and I've never seen any of the suburban people. So theoretically, I understand that, but I do think that condensing, you know, city districts so that there's really five opportunities for five legislators to be on the county legislature. I don't know if answers your question.
Well, not only does it answer the question, it anticipated my next one, because I was going to invoke the former county executive and ask you about that point of view that you've already addressed there. So she thought she noticed a difference, but maybe that difference is not as great now, or at least based on your own personal experience, it doesn't seem to be.
Well, can I add to that?
Yeah, sure.
For example, you know, even in this election, which is on those old maps, the number of Democratic voters was 39,650, which is about 47% of the votes cast. Republican votes was 42,650 votes, which is about 51%. And yet we still have 6 and 11. So I think that speaks to, and you see that in gerrymandered district states and counties all over. Again, that's, Republicans and Democrats play the same game. And I wish the game would stop.
Well, point of fact on that, though, because I want to make sure I'm understanding you. When you say those percentages of votes, do you mean that they were registered as Republicans and Democrats and they voted, or they voted for Republicans and Democrats?
I don't know that you know exactly what the registration is of a person who cast a vote for a Republican or Democrat.
So that may end. I'm sorry. That may indicate some Democrats voting for Republicans.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. Anecdotally. But I know that. Yeah. I know from some conversations with folks I've had that there was some ticket splitting on at that level. So, okay. I just want to make sure I understood you correctly. So, so let me ask this other question then. And I'll put it to Legislator Knapp, but it's really for both of you is, and it's kind of a perverse question in a way, but let's imagine a world where given the county and given its voting patterns where you were trying to gerrymander it in favor of Democrats. I mean, I'm trying to figure out like what's the maximum sort of place on one end of the spectrum that you could put these maps, and then how does this one compare? I mean, how many seats realistically, Legislator Knapp, do you think Democrats could pick up if they just were able to draw them in any way they wanted?
Well, I mean, as we stand right now, this is something that nobody talks about, but the current makeup of districts right now, 11 of the districts out of the 17 have more Democrats registered than Republicans. There's about two that are just about even, mine being one of those. And when we go to that previous comment, I won 60-40. Like I said, there's a few hundred more Democrats or Republicans in my district than Republicans, than Democrats, but not a lot. So obviously I must have gotten some crossover votes there. But so there's only four really, you know, Republican districts, in the county, right as it sits right now. We won five of those 11 districts with more Democrats than Republicans. And so it's tough to say that, you know, a lot of these are Republican gerrymandered districts when, yeah, they didn't do a very good job if that was their goal. I share the concerns. My district specifically, you know, is currently one of those odd ones that I have the most rural parts of the country or of the county, I should say, along with, you know, one election district in outer Comstock, part of the city. I go to the Outer Comstock Neighborhood Association meetings. I'm on their email list, et cetera. I look at my voting pattern for the past 10 years, and is there a vote involving the city that I would have done differently if I didn't represent one election district in Outer Comstock? I can't, the steam school helping to pave some city roads a few years ago, I can't see anything that I would have done differently. So from that standpoint, you know, both maps corrected that situation from 10 years ago that I didn't think it was effective. And I think the residents didn't really think it was effective either. As far as, you know, the city or the county, there are more Democrats and Republicans, you know, registered in the county. A lot of them are concentrated in the city. And a few of the towns. And so that makes it a little bit tougher, again, based on all the, you know, guidelines and everything to make a lot of these blended okay. districts.
So I want to get Legislator Kuhn back in on this, and I want to try to squeeze one last question in if possible. And we've got about 2 minutes left, so we've got to be quick here. But Legislator, Kuhn, do you think that the Democrats are really being robbed of an opportunity to change the majority control of the legislature?
You know, I think it's really a challenge to look at what happened in the last election, too, because only 30% of registered voters voted. And regarding, you know, what legislator Knapp was talking about, I think that's a good example. By the way, he also represents part of DeWitt. That's one of the four districts that DeWitt is cracked up into. But I think it's appropriate that he represents a primarily rural agricultural area, because that's a community of common interest. And that's what's important. And that's one of the things that you look at for in a map. And that's where in the city, if you had five possibilities of representation, it would be people of common interests. So when you take a town like DeWitt, which is now has four legislators and the proposed map has four, you've got DeWitt, which is primarily more blue than red, connected to Salina, which is a bit more red than blue. So, you know, it's hard to tell. And until we get more citizen engagement to come to the polls, I don't think we'll know.
Mm. And we've only got about 30 seconds left. Legislator Kuhn, I'll let you have the last word here. But one of the things that the Republicans have claimed is that their map takes into account future population growth trends, you know, making projections into the future, not just looking at 2020. That seems to make sense. And that was one of the reasons why they put more districts in Camillus, Clay, Lysander, and Van Buren. Any 20-second thought on that?
I just think you look at what we've got right now. And by dividing up communities of interest based on some projection, which we really don't know about, no, I don't think that makes a great deal of sense right now. We got to look at what we have right now, how people within a particular community want their representatives to how they want them to represent them.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. One thing I can say for sure is this is a very complicated process, yep, and it's harder than most people think. So good luck to the two of you there. That was Mary Kuhn and David Knapp. And again, legislators Knapp and Kuhn, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, conversations in the public interest.
The Campbell Conversations, conversations in the public interest, is hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio. Assistant producer is Jacqueline Witwicky, and the program is edited by Mark Lefonier. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program and hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.